Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm Bella.
And before we get started, thank you so much for your support. But please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our channel so we can keep growing and continue giving you the clown world news.
All right. So
what do we have in store today?
Well, still making the headlines is the FBI's raid of Mar-a-Lago.
Which the president's not very happy about. He's, I think I just posted a bunch of tweets.
Well, I mean, who would be happy? They went through Melania's underwear drawer. You know, like, who would be happy about that? Apparently, they just started picking things up. Well, the first thing was that apparently there was a request by the FBI to shut down the cameras at Mar-a-Lago while the raid was taking place. Luckily, Dad said, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. And I guess that within the belongings that they took, they also took his passports.
Three passports,
one of which was expired or something along those lines, which leaves the question, where are the other, what's the other passport from? Does Trump have dual citizenship somewhere?
Well, what are, where are the other two?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's maybe Melania gave him. But, you know, I will say this. It's really shady that the president is saying, release the affidavits, let the people know what this is about. And then the DOJ is saying, the Department of Justice, that they don't want to release it because it can compromise the investigation.
Of course, because the investigation is how to slow down the momentum for the midterms.
Absolutely. And talking about the midterms, we just found out that Liz Cheney was, what is it? She lost her primary to a Trump-backed candidate. So this is 3-on-3 for Trump. He's getting rid of the Clintons,
the Bushes.
The Bushes, and now the Cheneys. So the legacies are completely dead. It's funny because you have, again, and we talked about it last week, where you have all these people online, a very small minority of the population, and echoed by some bigger accounts like Matt Walsh and Cernovich talk about, oh, we just got to move on from Trump. We got to move on from Trump. We want DeSantis and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, I agree that DeSantis is a great candidate and will be eventually. But you cannot say that we're going to move on from Trump when Trump is literally the reason why we're getting rid of all of these establishment Republicans that have been around for decades. Well, it's clear that his influence is just not going away.
His influence is absolutely not going away. So Project Veritas just a few hours ago released a whistleblower, basically a joint, what do they call it? A joint a memo went out between the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, where as a result of the raid, now there is a high alert for extremism and potential violence because they would love to set off some form of civil war prior to the election. Right. So that, of course, it could stop the inevitable of what we're going to see come this November, which is an absolute red wave.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't trust the three-letter agencies. So how do we know that the reason why these people wanted to shut down those cameras at Mar-a-Lago wasn't to plant evidence in Trump's house? We don't know that. And nobody trusts the FBI. And it's funny because Peter Strzok, I think that's his last name, who was part of the FBI. He was also part of the Russian collusion hoax. Okay, I think there was like some text messages between him and his like lover saying that they were going to get rid of Trump and whatnot. You have that guy say that the American people shouldn't be questioning the FBI and that we should be trusting that agency fully.
Oh, of course.
Okay, because then it kind of, it's against democracy, and they bring up all these words, democracy.
Well, that's what they say, that we're putting in question the legitimacy of these three-letter agencies, and then that creates a problem for democracy. I mean, Peter Stork, for what it's worth, was also on TV when the memo leaked against when the FBI tried to target parents, moms, as domestic terrorists. Peter Stork went on, you know, his usual press rants and justified the release of the memo and the parents being labeled as domestic terrorists.
Right, it's just another
deep
state
hack. This
is not
an agency that works for us. It's an agency that works against us. I think most three-letter agencies have really proven their credibility, mm-hmm. the fact that there is clearly a bias, the fact that these agencies are absolutely being weaponized against one political party. It couldn't be more obvious. Today on Tucker Carlson, before we started recording, they were actually going over the case of Gretchen Whitmer.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. And they were basically going through the story, and FBI informants tried setting up.
Right. Like they have done many times.
Like, hey, here's this cash. Go out there and buy guns. Hey, let's go out there and kidnap the governor. And time again, the guys were like, dude, like, no, we're not going to do that. Which I think it's hilarious because especially us running these pages, you see it so often. You guys smell like feds when you're in our comments pushing for violence, pushing for extremism. There is definitely a way that we're going to take our country back, and pushing for like radical violence is definitely not it. I think that that's a distinction that has to be made, right? Like we want people to aggressively go out there and take their country back, but definitely not with violence. We want you all involved in your...
But this is what they do all the time. They also did it with, and it happened a couple of years ago with like a pizza guy, like a Muslim, and they were trying to get him to like do some sort of like, you know, extreme act. And they were trying to lure him in through women. Like they had women talking to this guy, trying to seduce him and get the guy to go in. Like, I forgot the exact details, but it was all through women. And the FBI has been known for doing this for years. So it's not like the Trump raid was the tipping point of people not trusting the FBI. I mean, even the January 6th incident or accident, whatever you want to call it, there's definitely questions about whether the FBI knew what was going on, whether there was like planted actors in that event as well.
Correct.
So I don't think that the American public just suddenly decided because of this that they were not going to trust the FBI. I think it's years of their own work that has exposed them as a very
corrupt
and shady organization. And, you know, with that being said, I know that you wanted to share something that you were part of this weekend and some information.
This weekend, I was out in Arizona. I was selected as part of the PIT, True the Vote, which were behind the 2000 Mules documentary, went on and found more discoveries during the research. One of the more disturbing things that they found, instead of putting it in the documentary, they actually went to the three-letter agencies with it. And unfortunately, what it's done is that now it's put a target on them for having the information.
For the 2000 Mules.
For the 2000 Mules. So True the Vote was able to discover through a company called Connect, an app which basically allows poll workers to sign in, sign up. And this is a Chinese-owned app, of course. Mm-hmm. And basically what they were able to discover is that the Chinese have access to all of the information about our voters and our poll workers, not just the things that you would imagine that they would have, like your name and phone number and maybe even your email or social security number. I guess that those things are somewhat to be expected. They have the names of kids, schools that they go to, things that are really creepy. And I think that what makes the story even more disturbing is that, you know, they took this story to the three-letter agencies, and the three-letter agencies have now put a giant target on their backs for even bringing this up. I was talking today to one of our friends that is an aide for a congressman here in Florida, and he brought up how they had presented legislature to make so that any voting machines, any of the machines that are currently used for voting, that they would be required to be made in America with American parts, and it died before it even hit the House floor. They don't want to fix the problem with the voting, which is why it's so important. And the purpose of the PIT was to get citizen journalists out there, because if the press isn't going to cover it, if Congress isn't going to cover it, then it's up to us to do it and then demand that elections are processed fairly, right? We want fair elections.
And it also comes down, at the state level and even at the county level. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people don't understand that. It's like, why couldn't Trump just ban Dominion, or why couldn't they do this? Like the voting machines or whatever process we use in Florida is not what Texas uses or Wyoming or New York.
Well, even within Florida,
counties use a different method time and time again.
Counties, even some cities, like down to municipalities, will use a different process sometimes that even within the county. I think that that's a huge thing that most people don't understand, is that the voting process in America is not a one size fits all. It is up to each municipality to basically decide what fits best for them. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the one day, one vote, one ballot, mm-hmm. right? I think that the push for absentee ballots, I mean, if there's an extreme disability or somebody who's serving in the military, I can see how that would be the extreme exception. But mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is that it's just become a free-for-all, right?
Right.
Every state mailing random ballots to people. Sometimes you've got testimonies of people getting 4 or 5 different ballots leading up to election. It's unsafe, and we can't say that we do have fair elections when these practices are still going on.
Well, I saw a post by the Starbucks Union. I don't know if you saw it. It actually came out yesterday, where they wanted to stop. Like, this is like the Starbucks Union, right? This has nothing to do with like local elections or anything like that, or federal elections. And they themselves said that due to some like inconsistencies, I can't remember the exact wording, but they wanted to stop the mailing ballots for the union elections because they couldn't trust mailing ballots.
For the union.
For the union. So, you know, but again, we've gone through this before where you have states like California, liberal states and liberal governors saying that if you don't allow mailing ballots, then you're, of course, it's racism or something of that nature.
Because yeah, they claim that they always claim that it goes back to accessibility, like making voting accessible, mm-hmm. but which in realistic, every argument that they make is the most small-minded mm-hmm. racist comments you could make. Like, you know, minorities don't have access to IDs.
Yeah,
minorities don't have access to the internet. Minorities don't have access to transportation. It's like, well, what do you think we do? Like, you think we don't have IDs? Yeah. Like, well, what? So it's crazy. It's always those arguments to push. And it's so sick that they use us minorities
right.
to make their argument to basically rip apart America mm-hmm. with this fraudulent voting process that they want to create. Right.
Right. Right. I think that we are escalating a point of this radical gender ideology of no return. And we have a lot to cover. We have like 6 or 7 different headlines of just literally the radical gender LGBT community who does not want to come to a middle ground. And we talk about this often, how there's really no room anymore to be in the center or the middle, no matter which way you put it, because they don't allow that. They don't allow discourse. They don't want to share the internet with you. Their response is always ban this person, ban that person. This shouldn't be allowed. This is hate speech. This is terrorism. And therefore, we can't share the internet with these people. But they can share. They can be on the internet. They can spread their ideology. And the saddest part is that we are not fighting to keep children away from this radical transgender ideology. One of the least radical topics that we want to talk about today is how there was a biological male. I guess he's like an influencer, a very young 18-year-old influencer / model, because I just saw him post his Calvin Klein ad. Okay. His name is Grant Sykes, and he rushed. So he got accepted into the Alabama State University, and he went through the sorority rushing process and was dropped by every single sorority except 2. So this is a biological man who identifies as a trans woman, pronouns she, her, and he decided to want to be part of an all-female sorority simply because he decides that he identifies as one. Thankfully, this sorority's most of them dropped them completely and said, no, we're not going to accept
you. Well, 2 of them did put him through the process, which comes back to the argument. Like, what if people just don't like you as a person for their sorority?
Right.
What if they just don't like what you represent? I mean, that's why general, you rush like, a sorority. They get to choose who it is that they want to represent their club.
Absolutely.
And maybe it had nothing to do with the fact that you were trans. I mean, they allowed you to go through the rushing process. Mm-hmm. Maybe it had more to do with just the fact that you weren't a cultural fit for their sorority.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, I have a big problem with people who say, I don't care. Like, I've been thinking about this a lot, like, last, like, few days. It's the people, and I've said this myself, I don't care what you do as an adult. Well, I don't care what you do as an adult has now transmuted into, because I was allowed to do these things as an adult, I am going to now spread my ideology to children. So now we have doctors who are queer or gay or transgender who want kids to go through this trans process because, hey, I have an MD license and therefore I'm the authority. Right. Do you see what correct. I mean?
Well, I mean, the same way that we have teachers that feel that they can be the ones to right. talk to your kids about gender and sex because, again, they feel like they are the authority.
And they're asking the question, like, is Greek life not inclusive enough? Is there ever going to be inclusive? It's not. Greek life has never been inclusive. As somebody that rushed the sorority, I was part of Phi Sig at FIU. It's never been that way. It's always been that you want the hottest, coolest fraternities or sororities, and if you're a match based on personality and I'm sure looks and whatever, that you get a bid and then you go through the pledging process. It's never been an inclusive world at all. You can even call it toxic. You can say it shouldn't be part of our society, whatever you want, but it's never been inclusive, right?
It's never been inclusive.
So now what they want is for this biological male, right? And there's so many women defending this guy in the comments. There's like 30 something thousand comments under his posts when he gets dropped by all these sororities, you know, wrote this whole like sad piece. And it's like all these women like, keep going. Like, why are you guys encouraging this behavior?
You know, why are you encouraging this behavior? I remember gay dudes in fraternities.
Yeah.
Like it was still under like. And straight dudes loved their gay brothers and they were fine with that. But wasn't a need to.
Or when people say, well, they should start their own sorority. Like, dude, there's no demand for it. That's the thing. There's not even enough trans people at universities for you to have your own sorority or fraternity.
Well, I mean, they're not. That can be true. But I mean, they should start their own. I mean, they should start their own sport.
They should start their own. But it's just like, again, this is just legitimizing their insanity. You know what I mean? Like, start your own sports. Okay, I'm sure, like, it's going to fail because no one's going to watch it. It's kind of like the women's basketball
team. Well, I mean, but that's kind of the thing. It's like, go do your thing, and then it will be for you. It's not the trying to impose this on something like, you know, it's like when women's basketball came out. Nobody watches women's basketball.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do. Like, you can't force people to be interested in something that they're just not interested in. There's a reason why the WNBA ratings, like, tank.
I guess I'm just like complete. I'm so just reading these news and having to see this almost every day, even when I try to avoid it. I'm at the point where it's just like we should have just never accepted it into our society. It's just it's gone too far. And
the problem is that I feel like that's what they want. They want to hear like, oh, we don't want it to be accepted in our society. Dude, we would have cared less about it. We're talking about a demographic that's less than 1% of the population. When are we going to, like, how many interactions can one human being possibly have with the trans demographic? The problem is the glorifying of now the ambiguity of sexes and genders. And now with this glorifying means that you have kids, literal children, trying to figure out who they are like most teenagers do and like most kids do in a really confusing time where they are being pushed towards permanently and biologically changing their makeup, their body, biologically halting puberty for the sake of what this new trend is. There might be a demographic, like I said, less than 1%. And that's why most people could have given a shit whether or not they existed in their own reality or didn't, because it didn't affect most people. It's when you take a 1% of the population and try to shove that ideology into the faces of people that just don't live like that.
Right. It's funny when they argue for gender-affirming surgeries or gender-affirming care. And if you think about it, the word, like that phrase of gender-affirming, the only gender-affirming care that should be providing for these people is for them to accept their gender.
Correct.
That's it. Like anything else, it's you trying to play God with a human and trying to transform them into something that it's not. Lips Up TikTok posted a 2-minute video. I'm not going to play it here. You can find it on her Twitter or on her Instagram of a trans male, I guess, from female to male, right? So trans male, female to male. And he's talking about all the issues, the health issues and complications that he's had, including the fact that he has to poop in a bag. He has to take a shit in a bag.
Matt Walsh, do you understand that? Part of his story too.
He has to poop in a bag. You think that this is normal? And we've been saying, oh, it's okay because they're adults. It's not. I mean, I think within the next 10 years, we may see a lot of these doctors in jail in certain states because they're screwing humans up. It's not a good thing. I'm telling you, it's not a good thing.
So, and you got to wonder where it is that this lands on. Does this predominantly land on the doctors, or does this also go back to education and the universities that are preparing these doctors with it's these both. Radical extreme yeah. views?
It definitely is the education, because I've had friends who, won't say any names, but I have friends who are, you know, have family members who are doctors, and some of them even pediatric doctors, and they themselves believe in these hormone blockers and these puberty blockers. And they'll tell you, like, well, this study showed that if we gave a puberty blocker to a 12-year-old, then they were more happy. So it does come from the institutions that teach these doctors that based on medicine and science, all of these processes and procedures are okay.
Right. I mean, because that's what happened. It's when you're taking gender studies and you can have an entire major that you graduate from a complete Ivy League university where you're probably paying $50,000+ for a full degree. And you can take a full degree on gender studies to learn all the 175 genders that exist, including ones that are attracted to aliens and grapefruit.
No.
I wonder who is held accountable, right? I think that what is undeniable is that we're definitely seeing a cultural shift, something that's heightened over the last year or two or so, where it's like the push to glorify the trans agenda is very real. They want kids at a minimum to consider it. They want to be able to halt puberty so that you can consider potentially being trans, as if though it's just this very easy decision, something that people can just make. And like you just said, listening to the stories of people that detransition are completely horrifying.
Yeah.
Grown adults that go through these surgeries. So I can't imagine being a child confused like most teenagers are, hormonal like most teenagers are, and making a radical decision to halt your, you know, to halt your puberty. And then potentially have complications come from that, because we don't know what this is going to look like in the next 10 years.
I actually saw, but I can't find it right now, a detransition story today also of a female to male. And one of the things that she said was that now that she stopped taking testosterone or whatever, she's been off of it for a couple months or some time, all the hair that she had grown from this, you know, drug is like falling off of her. She's like, I never thought I was actually going to be able to get rid of all this hair that grew due to these drugs. And, you know, she's facing a lot of, like, medical challenges.
Of course she is.
It's just not, it's like, you really are playing God. You know, speaking of these experts, and by the way, for those of you who have been following me from day one, you know that I've always been I wouldn't say a radical, but I've always been very, I wouldn't say anti either, but I've always been a huge critic of the medical establishment. I would always make fun of the experts because they genuinely think that because they have a white coat, they become a god, a priest. So the lips of TikTok expose Boston Hospital. The Boston Hospital, is that the name of Boston University Hospital, Boston's mm-hmm. Children's Hospital? It's not that she even exposed them. They publish videos on their YouTube and on their website talking about all these gender-affirming procedures
and care. Very proudly proclaiming
proudly.
That they are the only right? pediatric hospital right. in the nation, the first and only pediatric hospital in the nation to offer gender-affirming care to minors.
So they're bragging about all the procedures that they do, all those things. This is all public knowledge. The only
including full mastectomies.
Right. So the only thing these people have done, the activists and lips of TikTok, is post it and share it to their network. But that bothers the gender radicals because you're now a terrorist and you're inciting violence and this is a problem. So last week or a few days ago, Boston's Children's Hospital was exposed for offering gender-affirming surgeries to minors. After the videos went viral, they quietly updated their website while PolitiFact ran cover for them with a false fact check. This was obviously a big story within conservative media and social media and Twitter. You had Matt Walsh and the usual suspects talk about it, retweet it, expose it, and you had a backlash from the community calling the hospital, emailing the hospital and whatnot. Of course, now they're saying that because of these tweets and this expose, that conservative activists are pushing what they like to call now stochastic terrorism. So that's why I was asking you to look that down. So the new word is that stochastic terrorism. That's what they're accusing the lips of TikTok. That's what they're accusing Gays Against Groomer, Matt Walsh, and everybody else.
So there's a probability.
So there's a probability that they're inciting terrorism, but they're not actually saying anything. They're not asking people to be violent. They're not asking anybody to do anything. But somehow, some way, they are at fault for any death threats or any backlash that these hospitals are experiencing.
It's what we've talked about. Like, Libs of TikTok doesn't create content.
It doesn't create, no.
All correct. They do is curate a collection of content that's already readily available out there because you freaks put it out there.
Yeah. Like, there's like videos.
You don't want creepy things to end up on Libs of TikTok?
Don't post it.
Creepy things. It's actually pretty simple. You don't want to be called groomers on Libs of TikTok? Don't do groomerish things.
Right. And so there's this guy, Billboard Chris. He is another activist, I guess, conservative activist on Twitter. And he has a whistleblower, an employee within Boston's Children's Hospital, saying that they're getting extremely hammered, that they're going on
damage control
and stuff like that. And this is one of the things that he said, or that Boston's hospital sent its employees. Due to an increase of threatening and aggressive messages coming into BCH, commenting on the treatment of transgender patients, staff are asked to forward inappropriate phone calls and emails related to this matter to the following centralized location. Apparently, they're even getting law enforcement involved.
Well, they're not apologizing for it. They're not going to change. They're actually doubling down on their stance. And what they're saying is that they're only being attacked because of misinformation. Right. The misinformation being that they're not actually doing sex change surgeries on minors. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. That's fine. You're still feeding them hormones and doing full mastectomies on children and boasting about these things. But what they're sticking to is that the misinformation is that they're doing these sex change operations to minors, which apparently, according to them, do not take place at the hospital. All right. Everything but that.
Right. Then there was another California hospital or gender clinic that was exposed for treating patients as young as 2 years old. 2 years old. A two-year-old. Now a two-year-old can choose his or her gender and she needs treatment. So Christina Buttons is an online Twitter activist. She's on Instagram as well. And this is what she said. She said, UCSF acknowledges there are currently no available data to support giving double mastectomies to female adolescents, but also promotes them as medically necessary and then calls the age restrictions for minors, arbitrary barriers to surgery. So let me just explain this really quickly. This is an actual, document that they found from this California gender clinic, where they're literally telling you that there's no data behind giving double mastectomies to teens or to females who think that they're boys. Nothing at all. However,
that it wouldn't be harmful. There's no data to prove that it's harmful.
So they're right. No, or not harmful, period. There's just no data. There's a study on their way. However, they say that that male chest reconstruction is a medically necessary part of the phenotypic gender transition for many trans masculine individuals. Then they're saying that it's messed up how some of these teens who are obviously below the age of 18 can get these procedures because of their age.
Oh, for fuck.
So it's like, I can't, like, do you see how far they go?
Conversation that we had last week. Like, when I was a teenager, if I would have been like, hey, mom, I've been watching the Britney Spears video and I want huge tits too at 15. Mom, I would have been like, all right, well, you need to slow down. You're not going to get a boob job at 15. But somehow removing your tits at 15, love is love.
And this is the other part. A clinical diagnosis of persistent gender dysphoria isn't even necessary. Aside from transgender patients, UCSF also treats children they describe as gender creative, gender diverse, and gender expansive.
Like, what is the idea? I don't even know what that means. To fuck up as many kids as possible? Is that truly what it is? Because it's almost like the CDC guidelines that just went out for the virus, where basically now everything that... because I don't know what to call it, make sure that we don't get dinged or whatever. Now, they've basically backtracked to what we've all been saying from the very beginning, which is that if you're sick, stay home. If you're not, go on with your life. You don't need to wear a mask. This thing isn't airborne. So basically, the CDC has now changed their guidelines to represent exactly what every conspiracy theorist was already telling you 2 years ago. So here we are yet again in the same position that we were then. So at what point do people realize that they don't care about the casualties? These people are making it up as they go. So they're going to say, push for trans, for the gender-affirming care for children until 10 to 15 years down the line when you've got the highest possible rate of suicides within an entire generation. And people start asking, I wonder what? And then they're going to blame something arbitrary like Donald Trump probably in the next 15 years, the same way that they blame
Donald Trump is responsible for all the teenage girls that chopped their tits off when they were 14.
They'll blame it. Because they don't take any accountability.
They don't.
So there is no accountability for the fact that they shut down an entire global economy for the last 2 years over something that clearly was over, I don't even know, the fear on it was like overfed or whatever you want to call it.
And I was just having that discussion with somebody on my Instagram when I was like, just fucking unfollow me. Because he was like, oh, don't you forever Trumpers remember that it was Trump who shut down the economy and then it was the governors? And I'm like, bro, what the hell did you expect Trump to do when he said that he wanted us open by Easter? Do you remember that?
Yep.
He was like, everything should be fine by Easter. That was a problem. He was killing lives. When he said that it was a cold, that was a problem. When he said that we didn't need the V, can't say the whole word, that was a problem because he was killing lives. They said that he told us to drink bleach. I mean, do we not live in the same reality, bro? We don't live in the same reality. That's why I tell these people, bro, like, why are you still following me? Why are you still following me? Like, we've been through this. It's been 2 years already. You already know how we feel about these people. You already know that we support Trump. Right. Well, why are you still fucking following me, bro?
And why are you still triggered by
this? Why are you still triggered by this shit? Even after Trump left office, DeSantis continued to extend the emergency for like the longest time. So I don't know, what do you want us to do? This is why I tell people, why don't you just leave to the middle of nowhere? You don't vote, you don't pay attention to anything, and you raise your family somewhere in Wyoming and just stop following accounts like ours.
Correct.
So anyways, something that I keep saying, and I'm going to say it in another, and I'm trying to find an analogy to make people understand how bad things can get for the left, right? You have somebody like Alejandra Caraballo. She's
the
Media Matters. She goes by @squeer on Twitter. She's a huge LGBT trans advocate. She's constantly trying to target Lips of TikTok, AIDS Against Groomer, and anybody.
So for those of you who don't understand how Media Matters works, they basically have fact checkers assigned to anybody of influence within the right. So if you are a person that talks about the V's, they've got their own set of stalkers that are assigned to you. If you're somebody that talks about the elections, they have their own set of stalkers that are assigned to you. Alexandra is now assigned to Alejandra is now assigned to challenge the groomer narrative, because of course they can't let us win the culture wars. So now, because the campaign to call what's happening what it is, which is that there is an active grooming of our children is going on, Media Matters assigned people like Alejandra to
follow and stalk and follow and continue. Correct.
So anybody of influence. different.
So Alejandra Caravalho, right? Huge LGBT activist who's been trying to deplatform Libs of TikTok for the longest time. Now her job is to try to deplatform gays against groomers. So today she tweets out that Twitter is just sitting on their asses while Libs of TikTok, Matt Walsh, Christopher Rufo, and Billboard Chris use this platform to drive stochastic terrorism campaign against Boston Children's Hospital. Is this going to take a provider getting killed for them to act? Here's the thing that people don't want to understand, okay? You people, you 1%, less than 1%, all right? You are the minority, okay? We, the majority, allowed you, okay, to live your lives peacefully and have the same rights as us. We did that, okay? Because we're actually good people who thought, hey, we're classical liberals. They should have the same rights as we do. We never try to impose our beliefs in you. We never try to cancel you off the internet. Here, if we decided to cancel you as a society, as a group, we could do it. You see what I mean? You're protected now under this regime, but it's not going to be forever. So when the backlash comes back, you can expect the same type of action from the other side, because there's no middle ground anymore, because you can't share the internet with people like Matt Walsh, Libs of TikTok, or Gays Against Groomers. You can't. You want them off the internet. Why should we think that your ideology is less destructive and dangerous to us? It is far more destructive and dangerous of you pushing this radical trans agenda on people than Matt Walsh trying to expose it. Do you see? Do you see what
I mean? Well, I mean, then Matt Walsh trying to describe what a woman means.
Right.
Like, Matt Walsh is grabbing all hell for simply stating the biological obvious answer, which is that there is boys and there is girls. And somehow, in 2022, Joe Biden's America, this is a radical way of thinking.
This is a problem. And here's the thing, too, what these people don't realize. If you can legislate degeneracy, and if you can legislate all these things, we can legislate morality. Do you understand how that's a very bad slippery slope for everybody?
Well, I think we're seeing it on every angle,
right?
Do you see that? Anything that you guys continue to cheer on that's out of the norm, that goes again, that completely radicalizes people, just remember that the pendulum will swing.
And it's going to hit
hard. And when it does, you're not going to like the other side. When, like Linda says, there is a push for morality back in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have gotten to extremes.
Yeah, because most of us, and I talked about it earlier today when I was hanging out with some very moderate kids. I won't say where because I don't want people stalking me. We were talking about this, and I said, you know, what these people don't realize is that this has made us question, even people like myself who were okay with gay marriage, hey, did we open up the doors to all this stuff because of gay marriage? And I've talked about it with my own gay friends, and most, some of them agree, some of them say it's debatable, some of them say, no, it's not, we've come really far. I disagree. I think I was wrong. And the Christians were right, because they said this is a slippery slope and you're going to see how much worse this gets. And it's gotten to the point where we have to accept the fact that 2-year-olds can choose their own genders, or we're the bad people.
How much of it is really, truly just globalist propaganda glorifying this lifestyle that will break down the nuclear family, that will weaken the West, that will weaken our men, that will weaken women in their feminine role, taking care of their families. Mm-hmm. Like, really, the trans agenda does away with the nuclear family.
Absolutely.
It takes away the identity of women being women.
And even go beyond that, Isabella.
You know?
The God aspect of it, nature.
Absolutely. The complete ass backwardness of it, of defying just natural law and order. And
it's completely
when you look at it, it's like, how much of this push is actually being driven by the minority, and how much of it is truly just a push from the influential mockingbird media, you know, spreading this idea where in order for you to be a good person, because this is always how they present their argument, that if you don't stand with them on their radical views, then it must be because you are not a good person. That is their favorite attack, is to make you question whether or not your moral high ground makes you a bad person because you're not as inclusive or you're not as accepting. It's like, I don't want to be accepting of transitioning 6 and 7 year olds and potentially scarring them.
And I'm at the point where I'm not even accepting of adults anymore.
And I don't care what it is that you have to say. No, yeah, absolutely. You know what? I remember I had a friend that had gotten the gastro bypass surgery done. And even for gastro, you have to spend months going to therapy so that your brain can start getting used to the fact that when you get your when you get the sleeve put on or the band or whatever it is, start prepping your mind to how much less you have to eat. So if there's some kind of like psychological trauma that makes you want to overeat or whatnot, these people go through months of psychological preparation simply to prepare them for what their life will look like with a smaller stomach.
Yeah. No, and I remember my friend Yesenia got one too, and she had to go through that.
These people just want to transition kids from one day to another. Oh, what's that? You wanted to be Batman last week, and this week you want to be a girl? No problem. Hormones. Here you go. Let's completely screw you up for life. Dude, I took birth control one time in my life for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And the effects, hormonal effects of what that did to my body simply after a couple of months, I can't express enough how much a couple of months of birth control, the kind of longstanding effects that it had on me long term. And that's just birth control, something that's completely societal acceptable for women to take despite it making them crazy. Something that's completely normal and societal for women to take. So I can't imagine how crazy birth control alone will make you, what it must feel like biologically for somebody to be taking hormones to completely transition them out of the gender that they were born into.
And let me just quick, I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but Boston Children's Hospital did release a statement. By the way, I didn't know this, but they're very proud to say that they're the home to the first pediatric and adolescent transgender health program in the United States.
Yeah, like I said, very proud. They're not apologetic at all.
Motherfucking proud. And this is what they say. You know, talking about the response and that they've gotten emails and phone calls and internet activity, including threats of violence towards our clinicians and staff. This is so crazy. The article and online attention that followed was based on incorrect statement that the Boston Children's performs hysterectomies on minors in connection with transgender care. For a hysterectomy performed as part of gender-affirming care, Boston's Children requires a patient to be capable of consenting for themselves. What does that even look like? Hold on. Age 18 is used to reflect the standard age of majority for medical decision making. Boston Children does not and will not perform a hysterectomy as part of gender-affirming care in a patient under 18. Okay, so they're literally contradicting their statement because they're saying that a patient just needs to be able to consent, but a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old can basically do that. And they're saying and that 18 is standard.
They're talking about the hysterectomies, but they're not talking about the mastectomies that they are doing out of the hospital. So
or
it's
the,
like
or the puberty blockers which
that
are
you're
hormones,
doing out of the hospital, which still have a long-term effect on these children that are taking them. So it's like, congratulations, you're not chopping penises off like on kids under 18 years old. But nonetheless, you're still pumping hormones into them. You're still making 12-year-old girls grow beards. You're still making 14-year-old boys grow breasts.
Absolutely bizarre.
It defies all natural law. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. This is biblical. This is what we've talked about. It is not normal for grown adults to be advocating for the biological interruption of children's puberty. It's unnatural. We've gotten to a place where we are not just condoning, but we are promoting and glorifying things that are unnatural, things that are not of God. I would be a lot more concerned, or I'd be a much bigger advocate to learn that because of the rise in propaganda towards children with the LGBT community, that there was also a rise of counselors that, like you mentioned earlier, were trying to coach children to have some form of acceptance for their form in this earth. Mm. You know, it's so mind-blowing to see the double standard of seeing the body positivity movement and the push for transgender rights going on at the same time, because it's so contradictory to one another.
From the same group
how can you push exactly how can you push full acceptance of your body, of every curve, every mark, what the entire body positivity movement of accepting yourself just as you are? Don't work out, don't eat right, you're perfect just as you are. Cool, I dig it, amazing. And on the same token, tell 5-year-olds you want to have tits when you grow up, and that's fine. Let's pump you up with these hormones, and then let you decide in 10 years after you've done you've done permanent damage to yourself.
It's freaking bizarre. Another really sad story, really, really pissed me off when I read it today, was, if you guys remember, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where an 80-year-old grandma was kicked out of her YMCA place because she complained about a trans male or trans female, whatever, that was changing in the locker room. So because she complained that a biological male was in the locker room changing, she was banned from her swimming lessons. So today, there was a protest. this is just out of control.
You know, they want to go do their little like water dancing. Y le van a contar el water dancing a la señora.
So today there was a protest. You know, I guess the hashtag is Let Julie Swim, you know, Let Women Speak, in Port Townsend. And it was extremely intense. Of course, Antifa terrorists, because that's what they are. The people that Sonia Diaz and Jenny Lee Molina and Miami Anti-Fascist support are actual terrorists.
And Billy Corbin.
And Billy Corbin as well, and violent extremists. Those are the people they support. So Antifa shows up in numbers with all these terrorists, this man, to attack grandmas. To attack 80-year-old grandmas that are speaking their mind. Women that probably did march for women's rights. Like, I went through some of these old ladies' profiles, and I'm like, you can tell these women are Democrats. You can tell these women are classical liberals that were fighting for women's rights 60 years ago. Now, you're going up to these women's bro. They took the mic away from her. They damaged her umbrella. They had to, like, hold hands and do a fort around the lady so she could speak, because Antifa sent their goons to try to harm them.
To hurt a grandma. Shocking. Antifa hurting grandmas.
Aggressive trans men shouted, "Trans women are real women," as one held up a noose in front of us.
Can you imagine?
Bro, do it here, please.
Can you imagine fighting
in Miami
for women's rights?
I fucking dare you.
Fighting for women's rights, burning bras, going through all of that to get to an age where all you want to do is do your little synchronized swimming at the YMCA and have some dude get in your face and tell you how you need to look at his cock and balls while you're changing in the women's restroom?
The trans movement is an anti-women movement. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Men abusing women, it's what trans right is about.
You want to talk about the patriarchy? You want to talk about the patriarchy? Look at the push on trans ideology. That is the patriarchy. We've got completely erased women and their magic. The fact alone that they've taken birthing from us. That they've taken something as beautiful, as natural, as giving birth. You can't even watch a video of a dog giving birth without breaking out into tears if you're a normal human being, because the process is so beautiful. And the fact that they've taken that from us. Now we're chest feeders, birthing people. We've allowed them to completely strip women of everything that makes us special.
They were tearing down the women's suffrage flag.
Oh, that's the thing.
Yeah, they're tearing it down. I actually have I guess this is Port Townsend, Washington State. And Port Townsend, they have a school board block. By the way, I don't know if you knew this. So Antifa has a school board block Twitter in Portland, in Port Townsend, Washington State. And what they do is they basically, it's kind of like what they're doing to us. This shit is happening all over. Just keep track of conservative activists or parents, dox them, harass them, stalk them, so they don't speak out at school board meetings.
Because they're terrified.
So today they posted this today. This is from Antifa. Call to action. Show up in solidarity Monday. I guess it was yesterday. For a trans woman in Port Townsend being harassed, including death threats, always, on an international scale after a trans woman verbally attacked her at her job at the YMCA pool. Bro, you're dealing with
the
abuelas.
I promise you.
That if that was my grandma, or any grandma for that matter, and you try to fuck around like that, you're going to see me with a smiling face with my mugshot,
bro. But they're doing it here, Linda. Linda, they're doing it here.
Yeah, but do they show up like this to fight? They don't show up like this to fight, bro.
Well, no, because there's little... They are doxing. There's not a real presence here.
When have you ever seen... Exactly.
You have the likes of Sonia and Jenny Lee and Billy radicalizing these five nerds that are out here in Antifa and then weaponizing their media contacts. Because the most ridiculous part is that you dig into these Antifa networks and they're all connected back to the same globalist powers. They're connected back to the big money, back to the big corporations. These people swear that they're fighting the man, that they're fighting the system. You're not. You're a part of the system.
They're
Are you a nerd that send information to Miami Anti-Fash? You're literally sending nerds to a multi-million-dollar PR firm. But good luck with that.
I dare the them. Cause, I dare comrade. I dare Billy Corbin. I dare Sonia Diaz and Sonia Diaz, Jenny Lee Molina, and other fucking goons to show up to Versailles or La Carreta and try to do this to the elderly of Miami, and the elderly are going to pull a machete on you. I promise you.
Yeah, these the elderly,
they're not gonna, they don't
the
fuck around in Miami.
Don't play with y'all. And no. You know that. Speaking of that, I just want to make a quick comment. So I was at the pool, I was doing the pool watching today, and I saw Marta Perez.
Oh,
and
it
is just... So Marta Perez is a 24-year school board vet who has been running unopposed for over a decade. And it was just so satisfying to see her having to work for her vote, to see her having to talk to constituents that, by the way, all are very well informed on how it is that she voted for mass vaccines, how she's weaponized the school board against parents, how they've cheered on this Antifa page by keeping their mouth shut and allowing Antifa goons to show up to these school board meetings. I just can't stress enough the satisfaction that I feel knowing that we had a part in knowing, in pushing Marta to have an incumbent and have to fight for her position at the school board that she hasn't had to do in a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of teachers unions and all the corruption, Christopher Rufo, if you guys are not following Christopher Rufo on Twitter, he's really the main figure who is leading the exposure of all this teachers union and stuff like that that's happening in the school boards across the country. And so he tweeted out yesterday, the Minneapolis Teachers Union has negotiated a contract in which the district will fire white teachers first. This is the inevitable endpoint of equality. And he has the documents here on I'll link it below.
This was the agreement that was made because they were on strike because they wanted a raise. And okay. The solution was by the teachers union, of course, because solidarity with the teachers, the comrades at the teachers union. The solution was, let's fire white teachers because why not, right?
This is the equality that the left preaches about, when the majority of the population, actually the majority demographic in America, is white people, which has decreased tremendously.
I was talking to some friends of my minority friends, right, who I love very much. And it's incredible to see like their perspective of things, right? It's like, well, they want to stop talking about slavery in schools.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. They just don't want you to only talk about every American historical figure.
No. They don't want you to tell a black kid that he is less than or he cannot achieve whatever he wants to be in life because of the color of his skin. That's actually what's happening. And we have examples of those books that we have read and we have gone through in Florida that would literally tell a kid. There was this one author that was going on about how he's being banned because he's black. No, it's not. Your book is actually harmful to your demographic.
When you
point out in the book, you see that white kid has more opportunities than you. You will never be like the white kid. That is programming in the subconscious of that child, of that 8-year-old or 10-year-old, that he's never going to be what he wants to be,
that because he's never not accomplish, white. That the system's not built for him, that he has to be a victim at all times, that he'll never be able to surpass any whatever the societal standard in.
It's
bullshit, and it's a way of crippling black minds and crippling minorities.
And minorities. Absolutely.
Every minority. They want you victimized so that you continue to vote for a savior and a hero. They don't want you to be your own hero. They don't want you to know that you can get out of your communities. They don't want you to know that you can do anything that anybody else can do.
Yeah.
They don't want people taking their power back because they need us to feel like victims. They need us to be playing the hierarchy of the social justice wars. Oh, well, you know, my skin is darker than yours, or I'm gay, or I'm disabled, or whatever it is. And it's like the hierarchy of the victimization. Who's the bigger victim? And somehow the biggest victim of all wins, even though you don't win anything at all except victimhood.
One of the last things that I think we want to talk about is how the rosary is now a symbol of extremism. Imagínate, and I take this very, very personally because I'm a Catholic myself. My grandma is a Catholic who prays the rosary. In fact, she's always constantly telling me how I need to pray the rosary more because it brings miracles. In Latino culture, which most of us are actually Catholic, Mexico is a Catholic country, Colombia is a Catholic country, and I can go off for days, Brazil. There's different denominations, but for the majority as a whole, we are Catholics.
In Latino America,
and I went to an all-girls Catholic nun school when I was still in Colombia, and in the month of May, we prayed the rosary every single morning in the month of May. Yeah. And now you have a liberal activist writer. His name is Daniel Panetton, who's Canadian. Sure. I don't know if I said that right. And he writes for The Atlantic saying how extremist gun culture is trying to co-opt the rosary. And, he says, he asked the question, why are Sacramento Beats suddenly showing up next to AR-15s online? I guess he's going to be very shocked when he sees that even the narcos used to, pray to the Virgin and also the rosary before they did messed up things. But they're basically calling Christians,
it's all an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on Christianity. If you believe in God, if you believe in salvation through Jesus Christ, watch out. They're coming for your kids. They're snatching everybody. That's basically what's going on. If
you're targeting influencers,
you are. I mean, the fact that crystal fascism is actually a tagline right now, if you believe in the gospel, then you are an enemy of the state. And it's what they're doing is subconsciously programming people to associate far right violence with Christianity in an effort
different than what they did with the Muslims,
which is, but I mean, and here's the thing, my parents, you know that my parents left communist Cuba, and one of the first things that they do is replace God with the government. So what better way to replace God than convincing you that God is somehow tied to the scary far right extremism?
I think that this is a message that for those of you who speak Spanish and have non-Spanish speaking abuelas and stuff like that, this is the type of stuff that, you got to show them. They're stuck to Univision. They're stuck to Telemundo. That's what they hear. They're like, white people are bad. The Republicans are racist. Da, da, da. Yeah, well, they're coming for your faith next. You know, your abuela's going to be behind bars because she freaking prayed the rosary and has a Glock.
Yeah.
Like that's literally where we're headed. And it's really, really scary. Guys, also, we finally launched our merch. I think we announced the last time we have it printed out. If you guys see this,
This is our merch. Let me put this down. Our merch.
We have about six basada. Different styles. Basada, it means based in Spanish.
And gender. Genders are included. This is not gender neutral. We have basada for our women. Female women viewers.
And biological.
Then we have basado for our biological men.
So if you want to support us, check out our merch. I'm going to link it here in the description. It's amazing. These are actually American made. It's not a scam like we heard about some other companies scamming people. It is American made. So it is a little bit more expensive. But that's, I think, pretty much for today.
Today's episode. Stay safe out there, guys. It's a crazy world out there of tolerance and acceptance.
And
watch out for the comrades. Remember that every purchase from our merch store brings down a communist journalist. Every time you purchase something from the...
Every time you purchase, we make sure that a communist writer locks her Twitter account in fear.
Yeah.
Please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel so we can keep growing. And we'll see you next week.
See you guys next week. We'll